So as those two scriptures are being read, there is a repetition of the notion that this line of David would continue forever. And we'll pick up that theme in the other two readings that I want to lead you in as well. First one is Luke chapter 1. So if you turn there in your Bibles, if you want to, or just look on the screen, Luke chapter 1. Notice that sometimes we read from a New American Standard Version, and sometimes it's Common English. Luke chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 26 through 38. This is the story of the angel coming to Mary and telling her that there's going to be a baby born. So this is Luke 1, 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her, who was to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Our epistle reading is from the book of Romans. Romans, and it's the last chapter. It's chapter 16 of the book of Romans. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, chapter 16. And it's the final doxology of this book. And I want to read this doxology. And then while it's not in the lectionary readings and it's not going to be on the screen, I want to have you notice that on the front end of the book of Romans, there's almost the identical phrase, a couple of phrases used. So I want to read from a couple of verses on the front end of this book as well. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. "Now to God, who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but is now disclosed, and through the prophetic writings is made known to all the Gentiles, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith to the only wise God through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen." I'd like you to, if you could, switch over to chapter 1 of this book. And again, it's not going to be on the screen, but it's verses 4 and 5 and 6 of chapter 1. And I want you to notice that, okay, on the end we have this doxology, but in the greeting or salutation in this book, we have similar language. I'll pick it up in verse 4 of chapter 1. "And was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name, including yourselves who are called to belong to Jesus Christ." So these are the words of the Lord this morning. Am I popping this mic here? How about I just work off of this one? Would that be all right? And then we won't be popping. Unless you want popping. Do you want popping? You, popping's good. Yeah, if you're a fireplace and popcorn. Let's see if I can do this. I made the Seattle Pacific College soccer team in 1971. Ooh. But soccer in 1971 was nothing like soccer now. I'd never played soccer before. And I made the team. That tells you that soccer then was nothing like soccer now. While I was chosen for the team, I wasn't chosen to make the traveling squad. That meant I could suit up for games that we played in Seattle, but when we traveled, I stayed home. Coach had an interesting way of telling us who would make the traveling squad. He would put on the door of his office the team roster the day before the game, and then he would take a black Sharpie and black out the names of players that weren't going. And so you made the day before daily trip to the coach's office door and see if your name was there. Well, I knew I wasn't going to make the traveling squad, so I never checked. But one day, about 4 weeks in, 5 weeks into the season, Ray Reed told me, he said, "Hey, your name's on the door." I didn't believe him. I thought, he's a joker. But I went up when nobody else was looking to check, and lo and behold, my name wasn't blacked out. I was chosen to go to Bellingham and play Western Washington in an away game. Most of the time, I stood on the sidelines. Over the course of the season, near the end of the season, I was not only chosen to be on the traveling squad, but I was chosen to start one of the two or three games before the season ended. I was a right defender. I was chosen. I was picked. I experienced the ups and downs of being part of that team. We played St. Louis University once. They were the number one team in the nation at the time. And we tied them 1-1. And we got our name on the front page of the Seattle Times, and they called the defense a steel curtain, and I was part of that. They outshot us 52-8, but we tied them 1-1. That was high time. I remember playing against Chico State in Far West Regional tournament, and they beat us 2-1, and I wept like a baby in the locker room after. I experienced the highs and lows of being part of a team. I had been chosen. I had been picked. Here's where I'm going this morning. You are chosen. You are called to belong to Jesus Christ. If you wallow around in nothing else this morning but that phrase, wallow around in that phrase. You are called to belong to Jesus Christ. And as part of the team, you are called then to bring about the obedience of faith. So you and I get to get in on something that God has been up to since Genesis. You have in your worship folder some paperwork. You have an outline of the message this morning. And you'll see that there are three quotes that will frame the message. And all three of them are taken directly from this reading in Romans. So I want us to move through this mystery kept secret, and then look at the mystery disclosed, and then have us notice this phrase, the obedience of faith. It's been fun for me to sort of wallow around in that phrase this week as I've been preparing. Let's look first of all at this this thing that Paul calls a mystery, this mystery kept secret. And I'd like you to be deliberate here and turn in your Bibles. If you have your own Bible, it'll be Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Or if Pew Bible, if this will help, it's page 8. So Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And you that have been here over the last several months as we were working our way last year, as we've been working our way through the Old Testament, will not be new to any of you, but I want to repeat it. Genesis 12, this is the call that God made to Abram. He said to him in verse 1, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be a conduit or a channel, and out of you or through you, your descendants, the children of Israel, the Jewish nation, all the families of the earth will be blessed. This is not a Las Vegas blessing or lucky. Eugene Peterson in his message, instead of using the word blessed, uses the word lucky. Not, okay, the dice rolled and I got lucky. But more like I walk out of Dairy Queen with a boring vanilla ice cream cone and I look over at you and you've got an Oreo blizzard. And you say to me, I say to you, how'd you get that? And you say, well, you could have had one too. And I say to you, lucky. You got in on something that I didn't get to get in on. You have an Oreo blizzard. That's the notion of blessed. Not the dice rolled in your favor, but you are favored. You got in on something rich. So in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Abraham's descendants, the children of Israel, the Jewish nation, had their ups and downs with God in the Old Testament. When they worshiped God and when they took care of the poor, they received favor. But when they let foreign gods get in the way and stopped looking out for the lowly, then they experienced judgment and ultimately were hauled off into exile. All the while in this story of Israel, there's a drum roll or underground rumbling that one day there's going to be a deliverer or a Messiah who will come and set things right once and for all. A theme that kind of is in the background underneath. And that one who comes will be a descendant of the line of David. And so Deb read in 2 Samuel 7:16, your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. And the psalm that she read, I will establish your descendants forever. The divine hope for all the families of the earth was that they would be blessed. And they were going to be blessed through this deliverer or Messiah. And though it is spoken of in the prophets, it was sort of kept under wraps. And Paul uses this interesting language, a mystery that has been kept secret. That's what he calls it. But like the vapor, the steam that'll shoot out of an active mountain every once in a while, or like the tremors that you'll get around an active volcano, this notion that one would be coming, the lid came off the volcano, the thing erupted about 2,000 years ago, and the mystery was disclosed. Jesus Christ was born. And so you have this story in Luke, you have the telling of the coming by the angel to Mary in Luke, and then tonight we'll hear Mary Shearer is going to read the actual birth of Christ's story at our Christmas Eve service. The angel comes and says to Mary, it's starting. And it's starting in you and through you. And you are going to have a baby conceived by the Holy Spirit. And this baby will be the Son of God, the Savior of the world. He will be establish a kingdom that will be forever. He is coming through this line of David. His name will be Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. This long-expected Jesus is going to be born, and he will set his people free. It's no wonder. I've always been fascinated by all the chaos and activity that went on at that time. You have all these old people in the temple with these hymns, Simeon and Zechariah and Anna. You have Mary singing a great hymn. You have Elizabeth. These spontaneous hymns are being prayed out. I've been impressed that heaven couldn't contain the angels. They knew this thing was happening, and so they erupt, and they spill out over. And the people that are paying attention are shepherds, and they're kind of innocent, so they go running off into Bethlehem to find this baby, and they're causing all kinds of chaos.
these magi that pay attention to the heavens. They're loping in on their camels, checking it out. Even all of, the Bible says all of Jerusalem was in an uproar. And Herod, because he had heard that this little guy is going to be a king, didn't want anybody taking his place, so sends soldiers down and destroys every little baby boy under 2 years of age. Chaos, uproar, action all over the place. This volcano erupted. No more is it going to be an underground sort of rumbling, a little vapor mist. It's going to be the full thing. The baby is born. Christ is born for this. And you have this Christ then coming on the scene in the Gospels. And the first words he says to a group of guys is, follow me. And after he had spent a night praying with his Father in heaven, he came down from the mountain and selected 12 of them that he might be with them. Follow me, with them, called to belong to Jesus Christ. That's the project. That's the exclamation point on all of this activity. Called to belong to Jesus Christ. And so I've been singing this hymn this week in light of this to myself when nobody's listening. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art. Dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Every nation in you. And Paul said this mystery is now disclosed. Called to belong, called to be a part of the team. The mystery is disclosed. The third phrase that he uses that I want us to unpack is the phrase, the obedience of faith. We are called then, if we're called to be a part of the team, to belong to Jesus Christ, then that infers, or we're expected then, to bring about, we're called to bring about the obedience of faith. And I already pointed out that Paul starts his book in Romans with that phrase and ends it. So whatever else we want to think about the book of Romans, that's really what he's getting at, this call to the obedience of faith. And when you think of obey, what comes to mind? The first thing that comes to my mind is a little toddler that's being drug kicking and screaming, forced to do something he or she doesn't really want to do. You're going to obey me. Dane, our little two-year-old grandson, spent the night with us last week. And he got up in the morning, and he had pajamas on, but he didn't have skiffies on underneath. And so we let him run around free bird for a little while. And then at one point, I thought, well, I'm going to put some skiffies on you. He didn't want it. He didn't want me to. I grabbed him and was wrestling him. And I said, I'm going to put skiffies on you. And he was, no, no, no. He liked the free form. No, 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 I don't want skiffies. And so we were wrestling, and I was kind of being serious but joking, and he was being Dane. I said, yeah, we're putting skiffies on you. He's, no, no, no. And then he said to me, you're not obeying. And I could hear Jamie in that. And I thought, listen, bucko, you got it backwards. I'm the one that says that to you. You're not obeying. Obedience. The word obey is interesting. It's made up of two words, hupo, which is underneath or beneath, hupo, and then akuo, which is to hear. So when you obey, you hear under. You don't hear over. You don't hear to the side, but you hear under. Implied in the word obey is subordination. You're getting underneath the one spoken or the words that are being spoken. And implied in the word obey is yes. If you're under it, your response is going to be, aye, aye, sir. Use it, coined a military phrase. Yes, I'm called to belong. Yes. I'm called to bring about the obedience of faith. Yes. Yes, I want to hear under what you have to say. Analogies help me when I run into words or phrases or ideas that are difficult. Obedience of faith is one of those. So I thought of some analogies. I thought of the community meal analogy. Yesterday, many came to help. They heard the call to belong, and they came to be a part of the team. And just play with this for a minute. And so team members would come, and they'd come to Julie, who was giving leadership to the community meal, and they'd say to her, how can I help? They were hearing under. And because Julie knows some of the strengths and weaknesses of people, she would give assignments. Jeremy was there. He ended up in an ER yesterday after serving community meal. I don't know what happened. He had prepared four turkeys and two hams, didn't he? And he was going at it, just having the time of his life, preparing food. If you were to come to Julie yesterday and say, how can I help? And she knew that you were an off-the-charts extrovert, she would probably say, hey, I'd like for you to go out and just talk to our guests. Sit at a table and get a plate of food and get to know some of them. If you came and Julie knew that you were an under-the-table introvert, she probably wouldn't say to you, go out and talk to people. She'd probably give you a box of gallon baggies and say, go back into the refrigerator room and take the 20 boxes of pizza that have been donated by Pizza Hut and put four or five pieces in each bag, and we'll make that food available to our guests as they leave. And you can go and work back there all by yourself. When you hear under, you find yourself doing things that at the end of the day, while you may have sweat, there's still a sense of, yes, aha, I got in on something that was bigger than I am, and I loved it. Adam and Becca Carpenter attended our church several years ago, and during the dedication of their daughter, you that attend here know that what we do is ask parents to just describe briefly what their hopes are for their children as they're growing up. And so Adam and Beck are standing here with their daughter in arms, and they're asking, you know, what's your hope for your daughter? And Adam said, our hope for our daughter is that she learn the joy of obedience. I've kind of muttered around in that phrase quite a bit. You know how, is unjoyful a word? Unjoyful it is when there's disobedience. You yourself know the chaos that it sets up in you when you're disobeying. But you also know, especially when you're around a little toddler that doesn't obey, how unjoyful those experiences can be. He was wanting her to learn the joy of obedience. And I thought of this phrase, this hearing under, this notion of getting in on God's project, the idea that he had from Genesis. And I thought, when you are being called by God to get in on the project that he has had in mind from the beginning, can you imagine the fullness of joy that must come with that when we are bringing about the obedience of faith? A couple of other analogies from last Sunday. Last Sunday during prayers of people, Melanie Reeves asked for prayer for a friend. And as she's asking for prayer, she started to cloud up and rain. She got emotional. And we took a moment to talk about the burden that God puts on us. When God is concerned about somebody, and he looks around and says, who can I share that with? And you've experienced that. You come under this weight of glory, this heaviness in your concern for another person. And we talked about that. And I was thinking about that this week, that here is God's plan for this person. And he is asking Melanie, will you carry this with me? And while it may be painful and she may be losing sleep over it, at the end of the day, she realizes I'm in on something bigger than you can imagine. And there's a fullness in that kind of life when we say, yes, keep me here. Let me share your heart. I want to know your heart. I want to feel your heart for this person. Yes, I want in on this project that you have. You're calling that person to belong to you. How do you want me to be engaged in that whole process? Another example from the last couple of Sundays, just reporting. In your worship folder, you have a half sheet that talks about the joy of giving. And three Sundays ago, you were asked to help with a community meal. It's a non-budgeted line item, and all the money that comes in for the community meal is given apart from the budget. And you gave, just on that one Sunday alone, $3,700 to the community meal. That's amazing. Well, last Sunday, I asked you to consider helping ICC, our Spanish-speaking church, worships here at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, Pastor Jonathan. And you gave $4,000 last Sunday and one Sunday to help with Jonathan. He's blown away. I talked to him this week, and he's blown away by it. Praise the Lord for it. And you see that there's a call there for missions. If you feel like you'd like to be a part of helping meet this final missions deal here before the year is up, you can take the envelope that's in your worship folder and help out with that as well. There were a couple people that gave substantially to these needs, and I wrote them notes saying thank you. And you know, there's people in the body of Christ with the spiritual gift of giving. They're able to make money, and they just love giving it. And whenever I thank people for a major gift, I am always impressed with the humility that they respond with. They don't want anybody to know it. They're just so grateful that they have an opportunity to get in on this thing with the spiritual gift that they have, the gift of giving. And at the end of the day, they are delighted that they get to get in on God's project of bringing about the obedience of faith. I can imagine someone who has written a check Sunday morning, maybe a Sunday afternoon or evening, getting their checkbook out and going, that was cool what I did. I just love doing this. Nobody's going to know about it, but I just am so delighted that I get to get in on this whole project that God has going. The joy of obedience, the joy of hearing under. Well, the obedience of faith is you in your sweet spot when you're doing it. And you are in on something that God has been doing from Genesis to the present. Christ was born for this. So a response. You may want to pause as you're coming forward. John's going to lead you to the table of the Lord in a few minutes. You may want to pause at the altar with your cup and bread and simply by pausing, say again, Lord, I'm going to tuck myself underneath your words in response to this. Or if you're coming tonight, you're going to be asked to make a thank offering to the Lord, not money, but giving thanks. And you may want to think about the life of freedom that you have been called to as you belong to Jesus Christ, and thank him as a way of expressing your gratitude. Say thank you for the freedom, for all that you've invited me into as I have belonged to you and as I have been helping bring about the obedience of faith. Well, let's take a few moments of quiet and reflect on what's been said, and then I'll lead you in the prayers of the people, and then John will come and lead you to the table of the Lord. Amen.